Life That Continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Bonnie North. British fingerstyle guitarist Clive Carroll cites a number of musical influences that go beyond folk or classical, although both of those are certainly part of his repertoire. But listen closely and you can hear echoes of everything from heavy metal to southern blues.
Carroll is in Milwaukee this week to teach workshops at the UWM Fingerstyle Guitar Program. He'll also give a free concert tonight at the Zelazo Center on the UWM campus.
He stopped by the studio first, though, to chat and to play us some tunes. This is one of his own compositions called In the Deep. In the Deep, Clive Carroll in Lake Effects Performance Studio. Clive, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My goodness. I was sitting here thinking, oh, I can hear all of that heavy metal influence. Fabulous. And just that open kind of like moody stuff. It was great. It was great.
Thank you.
And
oh,
that,
you
know, you have such an interesting musical mix in your background. Heavy metal, you've got Americana and blues, you've got all kinds of stuff. How did all of that happen? Was that your parents?
Well, I've been surrounded by music all my life. Yes. It probably did start off with my parents because they're musicians. My mum plays the accordion and sings Irish ballads and a few country songs as well. And my dad, he dies about 7 years ago now. But he played Appalachian banjo, that kind of clawhammer style.
Mm-hmm.
And he played the bass and he made the amps for us, for the family band. And my sister played guitar and was singing and, you know, in harmony with my mum. I played banjo and guitar at the time. So, I mean, when we were kids, you know, we'd stand at the back. We started at the back of the stage. They were actually... They had their own band already. It was called the Gene Carroll Family Trio. It actually ended up as five members in the end. But the title stayed the same. So my sister and I would start, you know, our musical careers, as it were, at the back of the stage, strumming the chords of G, C, and the other one. And then gradually we made our way to the front of the stage. And, you know, as a teenager, of course, you know, I was a teenager in the 90s, so... If someone asks what your influences are, you might expect the names like, you know, Eric Clapton and Mark Knopfler and Chet Atkins or something, you know, to be names not uncommon, you know, as major influences for an up-and-coming guitar player. But I was listening to people like Joe Satriani and Steve Vai and Paul Gilbert and Yngwie Malmsteen, those type of guys. You know, I was usually wielding a Uzi 2mm plectrum and a turbo distortion pedal as a teenager. So there are a few influences already, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, and those guys, of course, we're listening to those first guys that you mentioned, you know.
Yeah, probably,
there's
yeah.
this long line.
Well, it's hilarious in the family band because we might be playing, you know, the kind of Country Roads, the John Denver
sure.
thing, you know. So my mum would be going, almost heaven, you know, West Virginia, you know. And then she'd say, take it away, Clive. And I'd switch on the pedal and go... And then into the verse two, almost.
I'm surprised they let you stay with the band.
It was good fun. Right? Yeah.
But you ended up obviously staying with music, staying with the guitar. And one of the things I find so fascinating in your bio is that, unlike a lot of guitar players that I've had in here, you actually have a degree in composition. You went there as opposed to performance.
Yeah, I can write music and it says so on a bit of paper.
Yes, but what was it about that? Why did you do that and focus on that rather than performance?
I was just drawn to it, actually. As a kid, I didn't even think of it as work. You know, I've had some formal lessons as a kid as well. I went to a Saturday music college and I was shown the five lines of the musical stave. And I thought, well, you know, if this fellow's written this down, perhaps I'll dabble in it as well, you know. So I'd enjoy writing something like, you know, that. And then I didn't know the harmony might have been a third or something, it's a that kind of thing. But I used to give that part to my sister, and then we'd practice together, you know, and it suddenly end up, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not quite sure how it worked, but it sounded okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote endless pieces like that, you know, for two guitars when I was 9, 10 years old.
But you don't compose on the guitar. You were saying to me as we were setting up that it's in your head first.
If you can't sing it, then it's probably not going to work as well. I like to mess around on the guitar. You know, I love the guitar, and there are like endless textural possibilities and, you know, beautiful, like, you know, sounds and things that you sometimes mess around with, alternate tunings and that kind of thing. But in terms of the actual structure, I need to stay away from the instrument. It's a bit like saying you can't put the furnishings into a house without building the foundations first.
Okay, so the music starts somewhere else other than the guitar.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can show you, I'll give you an example if you
please
like.
Please do, yeah.
So I've got a piece called Eliza's Eyes, right? It's written for my daughter, Eliza. It might start just as a chord sequence, you know, maybe on the guitar or whatever, piano or something, and I'll sing the tune. It's almost kind of like a singer-songwriter sound. That kind of thing. And I'll write the whole song down. I'll write the chords down, and I'll write the melody over the top once it's kind of cemented in my brain. And, you know, if I can sing it the next day, then I think, perhaps I might be onto something a little bit more successful here. You know, if I can't remember what I've written from the day before, then it's perhaps not quite so strong a song.
Okay.
That's kind of how I work. So then the piece is written in its entirety in my head and on paper as just a series of chords and a melody. The next task for me as a solo guitar player would be to arrange that piece for solo guitar, right? So there was a fantastic band, well, there still is a fantastic band from Iceland called Sigur Rós.
Love them,
yes. Aren't they great? You know that kind of... Isn't that a killer song?
Yeah.
So I really love that introduction. You know, so I thought, well, for my piece, I'd like an introduction like that. So my backing melody was this. That's my kind of piano riff. Okay, and my hand is kind of clamped here on the neck. You know, I'm using three fingers to play this thing. So that's when I start to think, well, it's time to use a different tuning. So the B string goes up to C. And then the top E string tunes down to D, right? So now all of a sudden I've got this, which is, you know, almost the whole riff. Just need to add one finger there. That's right down near the headstock, and I can move it a little bit further up onto the second string. All my hands right up at the top of the neck now. You're just playing that higher note on a different string. So it's a lot easier to play.
But see, that requires understanding how the guitar works and how the tunings
sure.
work to and where things are on the fretboard.
Sure.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't translate that basic melody and everything and say, if I tune this string to this note, then I'll be able to do this easier.
Right.
Yeah.
I can improvise in standard tuning or in drop D or, you know, a tuning called Dad Gad, for example. But once I get into these low, obscure tunings, I'm
just making it up.
I've learned how to do it now, but it took a while. All right, you know.
Yeah.
So this piece happens to be in the key of C, so I end up tuning this low string right down to C as well. This is great.
Oh.
Yeah. That's especially through a huge PA. That's
fantastic.
Chest shaker.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the A string down to G, and all of a sudden, you've got that in the bass. And you can slap the strings off the fret wire like that as well. So if you have a bass line that sounds like this, you know, it's a bit kind of heavy metal-ish.
I was going to say.
And then if you slap the strings off the fret wire at the same time, you get this kind of feel. So that I thought, well, that'd be quite useful, you know. Then I wanted these octave ideas as well. So finally, there's one more string adjustment, and that's the fourth down to C. So it's the same as the second string. So from standard tuning, we're now into this kind of opens kind of C's. It's called C sus 2 tuning.
That's gorgeous.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
So now I can play that melody, that keyboard idea, and the bass, and I've got a little octave idea as well. That kind of thing as well, right? So this is what happens. So, and then bass. Which is a bit of a contrast to just strumming the chord of C in standard tuning.
Well, you've got four different things going on. You've got the bass, and you've got the background, and you're eventually going to put the melody on there, I know.
It's going to fit there somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Perhaps I can ask John Stropes to play the melody for me.
To sneak over and put his hand on it, yeah.
Anyway, would you like to hear the piece?
I would love to hear the piece. This is Eliza's Eyes, is that right?
Eliza's Eyes, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hope you enjoy it.
Eliza's Eyes in Lake Effects Performance Studio. Clive Carroll, thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful
thank you.
Song.
Thank you. Thanks, Mom.
I have to ask, this is more of a technical question. Yeah. When you tune down the guitar like that, do you have to do anything? Do you have to have a special guitar that allows for that less tension on the strings? Or do you just...
You have to stretch them a little, I suppose.
Okay.
Otherwise, they might go slightly sharp, something like that. This guitar does actually have a slightly shorter scale length, so yeah, you can really...
You can really, yeah, I was watching you do that. And
yeah, you can really bend the strings up.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Do you look for that in an instrument, where you're able to get that kind of flexibility out of it?
Well, the last thing you want to be worrying about when you're playing a gig is technique, you know, actually pressing down, and you know, you don't want to make a mistake. What you really want to be concentrating on is just delivering a decent show and performing as best you can, trying to deliver the song to the listener. You know, you don't have to think about having to press down really hard. And I mean, you can take a guitar I'm sure there's a great tech around the Milwaukee area who will set it up for you, and it's worth every cent, really. You know, it just makes your life so much more satisfying. You know, you don't have to worry about having to squeeze that first finger down for all the bar chords and everything like that.
Right. Everyone sets up slightly differently because of how they play.
Sure.
And what they're trying to do. I was just thinking in terms of what you're playing. You're doing a lot of bending, and you're doing a lot of, you know, tuning down where there's less tension on the string.
Sure,
and,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be careful about, you know,
getting it too far. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Down to C here. If I'm going F, if you press too hard, this happens.
Sure.
So actually, you know, you learn how hard to press down the string as well. Yes. You know, I've lived with this guitar since 2003.
So you're pretty good friends.
Getting used to it,
yes.
Yeah. It's a real temperamental little thing, especially flying over to the States, you know, and the changes of humidity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The back of this is made of a really beautiful piece of wood, but it cracks in dry weather, cold, dry weather. So much so that when I was up in the Canadian Arctic Circle, there was a massive split on the back here that really opened up, and it was so far open you could literally post a letter through the back of the guitar. So the way to seal that was just to, you know, turn the shower on in the hotel and, you know, maximum heat and all that kind of stuff, and just let the bathroom fill with steam.
And hang the guitar in the bathroom.
Hang the guitar in the shower.
Yeah. Wow.
Tap turned off, of course, but just leave it there for an hour or so just to reseal. It's a temperamental little thing, but it sounds pretty decent.
It's got a big, beautiful sound for a small guitar.
Oh,
thanks. So I understand you have a new album coming out.
I do have a new album coming out, yeah. It's recorded. I just haven't been home for quite a while to put the final touches on it. The first piece you heard this morning, the blues piece, is on that record. Stylistically, it's quite varied. It's mostly solo, and there's a duo piece on there as well. It's called a Renaissance Suite. And I was really honoured to have the classical guitarist John Williams play on that with me.
How lovely.
Yeah.
What a wonderful player. My
Indeed,
goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was unbelievable in the studio as well. Just, you know, one take wonder.
This goes back to what we were talking about before, this song about how you compose. Once you have it on the guitar, do you then write it out for other people?
I write it out, yeah. It's a pretty solid transcript or arrangement, I suppose, you know. But then I'll start playing it, and there's nothing more nerve-wracking than playing a brand new piece live for the first time, and it takes a good half a dozen or more performances for it to really sit. And then I might pick up the manuscript paper 6 months later, and things have changed ever so slightly to make it a little more guitaristic.
Okay.
But at least I know the foundations were there, you know.
So when you sit down in the studio with John Williams, who's used to reading tablature and used to reading music, it's there for him.
You just hand him
his part.
He read the music that I typed out for him. And some of it is pretty tricky, right? And he sight read the whole thing in one go. Unbelievable.
That must have been humbling.
It was amazing. And there was at one point I thought maybe his third string was slightly out of tune. So I said, you know, he said, take okay, Clive? I said, yeah, but your third string, is it a little, you know. He said, I think you'll find that it's you, Clive. So I got my electronic tuner out, and lo and behold, you know.
It was you.
It was me, of course.
Well, but to have him on your record, how wonderful. When can we hear it? When's it going to be out, do you think?
Well, I get back to England in October, and I'll put the whole thing together, and realistically, probably beginning of November, mid-November, something like that.
Oh, perfect. Well, we'll look forward to it, because I want to hear it. I've enjoyed your other albums so much.
Huh. Oh, thank you.
You're here to perform tonight at Milwaukee Unplugged, MKE. Is that right, John? MKE Unplugged? What kinds of things? Are we going to hear some things other than the first tune we heard today from the new album? Were you going to be playing older things?
Of course, all sorts of things, actually. Okay. You know, I draw inspiration, as you've kind of found out, from a wide variety of genres. And it could be anything from a 12th century round right the way through to, you know, the Foo Fighters. All stuff with a little bit of Renaissance music and some, you know, some old, perhaps an old blues tune, something like that, thrown in for good measure. Yeah.
That is something that we haven't even touched on, is your love of the blues and your affinity for playing them. I just really enjoy, been watching YouTubes of you, and it's such an American music.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, as a teenager, I'd be playing a little bit on the electric. But it was more in the, you know, line of, say, Stevie Ray Vaughan, something like that. You know, I hadn't played much acoustic blues until I started touring with John Renbourn, who's like, you know, the late, great John Renbourn.
I was going to say another god.
Grandfather of British fingerstyle guitar. Mm-hmm. You know? He actually brought me to the United States for the very first time. We were asked to give a blues workshop down in Virginia. So I said to John, what would be a great number? And he suggested the Mississippi Blues by William Brown. Mm-hmm. And he had a score kind of tucked away of a version of a transcription made by a fellow called Stefan Grossman over in Sparta, New Jersey.
Another amazing player. Yeah.
So Renbourn played me the original, an original recording, which was pretty extraordinary. And he kind of, you know, showed me around it and then gave me the Stefan's score. So I thought I'd have a go at playing the first part as written and then kind of semi-improvise a few variations after that, you know. It's a song, actually. Did you know there are lyrics to this?
I did not, no. Yeah. Do you sing them?
I'm going to perform the version, if you'll allow me to play, if I can pick it for you.
Absolutely.
I'll play the version which is unaccompanied by vocals. I kind of hear the lyrics in my head, but I'll play you an instrumental version.
All right. That would be perfect. And Clive Carroll, I cannot thank you enough for stopping by and playing for us today.
Oh, it's lovely to come to Milwaukee.
And best of luck tonight.
Thank you.
So before we get to Mississippi Blues, though, you just got off a tour with Tommy Emmanuel, who's an amazing, amazing player. We've mentioned a series of amazing players, and he is certainly one of them.
Sure.
What's he like to play with?
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, I toured with him in the States in February, just gone. We played a bunch of dates on the West Coast. I was absolutely amazing in that, you know, he's so full of energy and he doesn't stop playing, you know, even in the airport lounges. You know, entertaining, well, you know, obviously gathers a crowd wherever he plays. And I've played with him quite a few years now. I think the first time was in about 2003, 2004. He took me to Australia for the first time. And we'd all heard in England about how much of a huge star he was in Australia, you know, and so I thought, well, I'll, you know, let's see then. So stepped off at Sydney Airport, and honestly, there were people there waiting with tickets for, you know, as soon as they saw him, they wanted their ticket signed, and some people were waiting with CDs and things for him to sign. It was really unbelievable, you know. And the first show was in Canberra, the capital, and I'd never played in a venue that big in my life. There's like 2,500 people there for a solo guitar concert. It's really extraordinary. And so the atmosphere was just electric. Before the show, people were chanting, you know, Tommy, Tommy, and all this clapping and whistling and cheering and everything. And you could, it was really incredible. But I couldn't feel my legs, you know, completely turned to jelly, you know. So the promoter walked on the stage, says, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the theatre. Are you all ready to have a great time? And the response was like Wembley Stadium, you know, yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Please welcome to the stage, Clive. And they're like, who on earth is Clive? And I kind of, you know, sidled on apologetically. And I'm really sorry, you know, I'm going to play some Irish music for you now. Kind of couldn't wait to get me off. You know. But it was all right, you know, it went down fine.
I was going to say, they treated you okay once
you
were there.
Yeah, it went down pretty well, so I was kind of happy with that, yeah. In the end, the tour got nicknamed Tom and the Pom. But, I struck up a friendship with Tommy, and he's taken me to America. Maybe, I think I played 3 tours here with him now, and all over Europe, of course.
Lovely.
Yeah. Great person to learn from, as was John Renbourn.
Yes. Yeah. You've worked with 2 amazing folks.
Pretty lucky, right?
Yeah, you are. Mm. And we are very lucky to have you here. We really are. And I'm hoping now that we can hear the last song that you're going to play us out with.
Sure.
And this is the Mississippi Blues.
This is
right?
Mississippi Blues by William Brown, unaccompanied by vocals.
British fingerstyle guitarist Clive Carroll performing Mississippi Blues in our performance studio. There's more of our conversation with him online at WUWM.com. All three of the tunes he played for us are there as well.
If you want to hear him in concert, he'll play tonight at the Zelazo Center on the UWM campus starting at 7:30. And that is all the time we have today. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and each weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock. Thank you.